Welcome, dumbheads, to Wiki World Warriors. In this series, I'll be creating a new batch of World Warriors for the very goofy Street Fighter role-playing game from White Wolf. With each World Warrior, I'll be surveying one of the goofiest elements of character generation in that system, and I'll be calling upon a different international listener each episode to help my ignorant American ass better represent the other classier nations of the world. Each episode, armed only with their helpful guidance and cursory reference to Wikipedia, I'll attempt to give one more nation its moment in the street fighting sun. Today, that nation is... Australia. Australia, not a country I know a ton about, also not a country that has a World Warrior in Street Fighter canon, so before we get into this new World Warrior, let's take a look at what the core book says about Australia. Quote, Australia has not yet produced a World Warrior fighter, although the sport is catching on here. In Outback bars, the drinks flow as mini tournaments are held, run by bar owners desperate for new entertainment. The Outback holds rumors of a hot new fighter, a fellow who has somehow learned powerful kicks from kangaroos and weird magic from Aboriginal shamans. Whether this mysterious fella, if he exists, will show himself to the world remains to be seen. So not much detail here on Australia at all. Just about what you'd expect. The Outback, bars, kangaroos, Aboriginal people. Stereotypical, some may say, but I reached out to an Australian listener. His name is Benj. Thanks, Benj. And here's what I got. It's a character named Jackaroo. Quote, I can't pass up the idea of having been trained by a Chinese wushu master who came to the Outback in the Gold Rush. He showed Jackaroo how to tame the animal nature inside and helped me adapt his teachings to Jack's seven-limbed hybrid form to create Rushu. Thanks again, Benj. Right off the bat, you can tell this is a winner. What we have here is a Kangatar. This is a human upper body fused onto the lower body, but including the little kangaroo arms of a kangaroo. And his name is Jackaroo, and he's very old. He's been around since the Gold Rush. And he was taught wushu by a wandering master and developed a hybrid style called Rushu. Just fantastic. To continue, quote, in the century since, Jackaroo has existed mostly in the leafy shadows of the bush, living among the wild roos and touching the world of man almost exclusively via the Aboriginal custodian peoples and the descendants of his old master. It is only now, with the largest coal mine in the world about to be torn from the earth around his roo mob, that he has emerged to fight openly for the land. I'm picturing Jackaroo being human down to the waist, then kangaroo from the paws down, roughly as pictured in this sketch. And here Benj has sent me an illustration, not his illustration, something he found online, so that will not be on the Instagram. Quote, fighting style-wise, I'm thinking he'd be pretty much focused on athletic stuff and tail attacks. For all that having extra arms would give him bonus punch and grab, I think it's more fun to have him bounding around the place, tail-whipping and kicking the shit out of people, which is probably actually a claw attack. Physically, he's focused on being hella tough, he's older than the Federation, and quite strong. Not so much on agility, which is fine, as while I'm thinking of him zipping around the arena, that's an athletics thing, not dexterity-related. Somebody's been reading the Street Fighter books. Good work, Benj. Mentally, he's fairly balanced, erring on the side of perception. For all that he's clearly inhuman, he's probably about 7 feet tall. That's tricky to hide even with a Drizabone coat. I don't know what a Drizabone coat is. Maybe an Australian thing? Drizabone, I bet. That makes a lot more sense. I was like, Drizza? What's Drizza? Starting over. He's probably about 7 foot tall. That's tricky to hide even with a Drizabone coat. I'm thinking he's a pretty regular looking fella up top, so appearance too. He's only got a scattered contact with humanity, and it's mostly been through quite formal structures. Either the country respect of the Aboriginal peoples, or the dojo etiquette that prevails when he interacts with his master's great-great-great-grandchildren. So he's unaccustomed to needing guile. So I'm thinking manipulation one. He's a rude bloke of few words, but not afraid to crack a smile. I kind of like the idea of him being a bit of a local celebrity now, but that being a really recent thing that he's pretty uncomfortable about. So, I got a lot here from Benj, and I got some pretty specific numbers. So, building on that, first things first, name, Jackaroo. What else could it be? Style? Rushu, and yes, I am writing Rushu on the character sheet. And for his concept, I think we got to break out a third word here. There's a lot going on. How about a venerable kick-throwing Kangatar? He is a street fighter, although he's street fighting kind of to save the land. Very White Wolf and very 90s. So I am going to prioritize his physical attributes. Mental comes second, social last, since he is a guileless Kangatar and of only average appearance, even assuming that you want to fuck a chimerical kangaroo. And before we assign these points, we've got to get into the goofy character generation option for this episode, which you undoubtedly have already noticed. This game has goddamn mutant animals in it. It kind of had to in a sense, because of Blanka. In the Street Fighter role-playing game, for those of you who might not be familiar, you got your sumo, you got your karate guys. You got your American military badass. You got your Mike Tyson knockoff. Then you got Blanca, who is this like orange-haired, green-skinned weirdo who lives in the rainforest in Brazil and can electrocute you, which is a ability that I guess he learned from electric eels. Blanca is like the weirdest thing in the world of the Street Fighter video game, though, at least by the time of Street Fighter 2. There have been a number of Street Fighter games since then. I know things to have gotten much weirder. I don't know the canon, but I've seen bits and pieces. But as of the time of Street Fighter 2, Blanca was the weirdest thing. And he learned a technique from an electric eel. You had to have some way to simulate something like that. However, the Street Fighter Player's Guide, as usual, went absolutely fucking ham on this concept. And by went ham, I mean gave you the ability to play a half pig. First of all, just that you can play an animal hybrid in this kind of game is weird. But the handling of it is particularly weird and bad. Number one, as you're going to come to see, they're quite overpowered. Number two, they change the setting of the game in a weird way. I mean, all you had to do, it's Street Fighter, right? There are all kinds of weirdos in the world. You could have just left it at that. But the Player's Guide didn't do that. The Player's Guide changed the setting of the game world to reflect animal hybrids. Quote, "No one really knows what lives in the wild areas of our planet. Strange stories occasionally filter back to civilization. Tales of weird creatures stalking through the untamed wilderness. For millennia, these stories have been myths and little more. Recently, however, a few of these half-man, half-animals have emerged from their lairs to enter the civilized world. Rarely is such immigration successful, for most of these hybrids have difficulty controlling their animal sides, and they can't adapt to human society. Accordingly, they shun large cities, living on the outskirts of the wilds that spawned them." Then we get some theories about how hybrid animals come to be. Some people believe it is a mystery virus that is mutating the DNA of the victim, causing their cells to change. And then sometimes they come in contact with an animal, and then they start to like swap DNA with that animal, like Mutagen in the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles cartoon. There is, however, another theory. Quote, "Many people uninvolved in the scientific community adhere to a different theory, the tenets of which are as follows. The hybrids have been possessed by the spirit of the animal and imbued with aspects of that animal to serve some greater good. Many people witnessing the hybrid's savagery believe this mission to be one of vengeance. Others suppose that the natural order is reasserting its power over the world and that these creatures are ambassadors from the wilderness. Still others hold the opinion that nature is rebelling against the pollution and wide-scale environmental destruction wrought by modern society. Whatever the source of the hybrid's condition, the fact of their existence is no longer in question. Human society's reaction to these newcomers has been widely variable, but generally negative. A combination of the hybrid's bestiality and society's intolerance has led the public to vilify animal hybrids as savage monsters." So we just got a whole lot to chew on here. Forget underground blood sports. That's weird, but apparently not weird enough for this author. Now we've got a world where there's like a social phenomenon of beast people coming in from the outskirts of the wilds, trying to assimilate into society. You got racist shit about mutant animals all over your timeline on Twitter, rallies in the streets, pro-mutant animal, anti-mutant animal. And also, by the way, mutant animals have some kind of mystery virus that re-encodes DNA and could potentially be contagious to other people. Oh, and by the way, there's also this mystical aspect where like the power of the earth is reasserting itself, and so maybe these mutant animals represent the end of the current age as the power of nature becomes ascendant again in response to rampant pollution. The earth itself is taking vengeance on humanity. This is like a lot of background to put behind a Kangatar. You know, it's fine. It fills your page count, but you know, you had me at mutant kangaroo and the rest is yap, yap, yap. Anyway, so now we know a little bit more about the world of Street Fighter. The Earth is taking vengeance on humanity by invading human civilization with beast men, so that's simmering on the back burner of the setting. But anyway, putting that out of mind for a moment, until they consume us all, let's talk about playing a Kangatar. You get to start with 9 dots in physical, and in exchange, you get fewer dots in your social and mental. This is a major balancing factor, because as we know, most street fighting competitions also have a swimsuit competition and a trivia portion. No, they fucking don't. Street fighting is about street fighting, which you do with your physical attributes, not your social and mental attributes. Many sessions will consist of nothing but trying to beat up 3 or 4 other motherfuckers in a steel cage, and if you can do that successfully, you're gonna get paid prize money, you're gonna get XP points, all the bloodthirsty motherfuckers in the audience are gonna love you, and nobody's gonna give a damn about the fact that you're a dumb gator man. So, balancing factor failed. But that's good for Jackaroo. Jackaroo gets 9 physical points to spend. Now, Benj wanted Jackaroo to be hella tough. That's a quote. So what I'm going to do is do 3 strength, 3 dexterity, and 6 stamina. Oh yeah, that's right. Did I forget to mention? Like an elder goddamn vampire, an animal hybrid character can go up to 6 in their physical attributes. Now, granted, advanced Street Fighters can do this by default in Street Fighter, but normally you have to buy it with experience points at a much higher rate. So you have to be like a legendary master, like one of the World Warriors, to have stats this high, but animal hybrids just get to start there. So Jackaroo is strong, Jackaroo is fast, but Jackaroo is above all hella tough. Social attributes, charisma 2, appearance 2, manipulation 1. That comes straight from Benj. And then for mental attributes, we get 4 to spend. Benj said err on the side of perception, so that's going to be perception 3, and then intelligence 2 and wits 2, which are both average. Once again, please note how these social and mental numbers do not remotely balance the tremendous advantage of starting with stamina 6. I mean, granted, there are advantages to having a high charisma or a high manipulation, but you know what? It's not Street Friender, it's Street Fighter. Although this does make me want to do a special podcast series with Megan Bob of Smash Fiction called Street Friender, where we talk about which Street Fighters are which other Street Fighters' best friends. On we go to abilities. This is an unusual case. What we have here is a century-old Kangatar. As an animal hybrid, Jackaroo is limited to one dot in Streetwise, Subterfuge, Drive, Security, and Computer, all abilities that I did not intend to give him. He's also limited to 2 dots in Interrogation, Arena, and Investigation, more skills that I did not intend to give him. It's also harder for animal hybrids to raise their abilities with experience points, which is a legitimate disadvantage. But looking at the remaining abilities that I can actually take and have decent scores in, I think I'm going to go for talents as primary, then knowledges, then finally skills. So for talents, we're going to do 3 dots each in alertness, intimidation, and insight. He is very alert and perceptive. He is intimidating, being a combat-trained, 7-foot ripped kangaroo man. And he was, never forget, trained by a legit master of the martial arts. So he also has insight 3. He can see to people's true motives, and he can definitely evaluate fighting styles. We got 7 dots to spend on knowledges. Once again, I think the sensei is going to be the big deal here. I'm going to take 3 dots in style lore. I think his master gave Jackaroo a really broad understanding of other martial arts styles and how to combat them. So he's got lots of style lore. He's also got 3 dots in mysteries, which is a really interesting ability from this game that is like all the weirdness in the world, which definitely increased in prevalence as the supplements continued to come out. Like, there's a fucking Shoggoth in this game in the last supplement. So these 3 dots of mysteries will serve Jackaroo well. And then 1 dot in medicine, just because, you know, being an athlete, living by yourself in the outback, be nice to know how to deal with a sprain or whatever. Finally, we got 4 points to spend. I'm sorry, dots. We don't spend points, we spend dots when we're playing serious dramatic storytelling games. We got 4 dots to spend on skills. I'm going to put 3 in survival. You know, been living in the outback for 100 years, you get 3 dots in survival. And then 1 dot in stealth, because you know what? Sometimes maybe you don't want to have the Kangatar conversation again, right? Like, you're just nipping into town for some groceries. Maybe you'd rather not stop and have the Kangatar conversation about, like, how did you get this way? What are your internal organs like? Can you have babies with kangaroos, with humans? You know, maybe you'd rather just, like, sneak into the back door of the grocery store and pick up your bread and milk and eggs and Vegemite. So that takes care of abilities. Next up is backgrounds. Being an animal hybrid is, in fact, a background. So that's the first thing we got to take care of. So this is weird because animal hybrid background acts as your technique for certain animal-specific maneuvers. Your number in the technique also determines how bestial you are and how many new basic attacks you get. Fortunately for us, all those things pretty much line up for Jackaroo. He's exactly half and half. Half kangaroo, half man. That's 3 points. It gives him 2 new base attacks, which accounts for his extra arms and his tail. So we spend 3 points on animal hybrid and we get all these extra features. We got our stamina 6. We get access to new special maneuvers. And guess what? We get 2 free dots of animal companion. So in exchange for spending 3 dots on this amazing background, we also get 2 background dots back to pay for animal companion. Now, we've dealt with animal companions before, but we did this with Bull Onion, who has 5 dots and therefore gets like a mythical one-of-a-kind creature, the Splinter Cat. 2 dots of animal companion isn't quite as impressive. It gives you an unusual or rare animal, but you have no specific rapport with it. You need 3 dots to have that rapport. I sort of like the idea that Jackaroo would have like a kangaroo traveling companion who he treats more as a friend, not like a pet. That implies the empathic rapport to me. So I'm going to go ahead and spend that 1 extra background point on animal companion to get it up to 3. That leaves me with only 1 dot of backgrounds left. So I'm going to go ahead and put it into fame. That's known to a select group in society. So I'm going to say people in this little Australian town who go into the outback regularly, the outdoorsy types, and a few of the people in town know Jackaroo, and he's sort of like this weird local urban legend slash celebrity. And that takes care of backgrounds. Now, since animal hybrid is a background that's carrying a ton of weight, let's go ahead and finish up our business there before we move on to the next step. By the way, those 2 free dots of animal companion, I was lucky to get them here at Character Creation because, quote, all beginning animal hybrids have 2 free dots in the animal companion background. If an established character develops the animal hybrid background, he does not gain the free animal companion background that starting animal hybrids get. So, it's possible that you'd be playing Street Fighter and be playing like a regular karate guy, and then one session, you like share a sandwich with a gorilla for some reason, the virus gets spread, and you become a mutant gorilla during play. This is a weird fucking game. There's no real like role-playing tips or like system for what happens to you exactly when you become a mutant gorilla. The only thing we know is apparently gorillas do not like a Johnny come lately. You do not automatically get a little gorilla companion when this happens. You have to work to build that relationship. All right, so maneuvers. We automatically get the tail slash and the claw, which is going to be the maneuver we use for the extra set of kangaroo hands. The animal hybrid background also gives you a free dot of athletics, so you get an additional valuable technique point for being an animal hybrid. And in this case, that's very appropriate because it'll help with jumping and et cetera, et cetera. And then there are natural abilities, which are like special things like flight or swimming ability that you can do. But to get these, you have to have a 4 or 5 in the animal hybrid background. Technically, additional limbs is one of these. And actually, I think that is good for our situation because it's going to give an effective additional dot of punch and grab, just like having an extra cybernetic canid arm like we saw with Jacques Moose. So I'm going to go ahead and pump up animal hybrid to 4. And get those additional limbs. I'll just have to make a note to come back and spend a freebie point on that extra background dot later. Okay, so now we've got our extra arms paid for. We're all squared away. Now it's on to techniques. Now, Benj's request is that we focus on some athletic stuff and tail attacks. Yes, there are special tail maneuvers, thank you for asking. And they're based on the athletics technique. So we're going to go ahead and max out athletics. We know we want that. We've already got a free dot in it. So bring it right up to 3. We want to be able to punch and grab. So I'm going to do a dot each. Since we get the extra effective dot in those for having extra arms, we're leaving money on the table if we're not using those techniques. And a kangaroo never leaves money on the table, as the old Australian aphorism goes. We also want to be able to block at least a little bit, even though honestly, this motherfucker could just stand there and take it. It's like in that fighting game where like Superman's block is that he just like puts his hands on his hips and stands there and puffs his chest out. I feel like Jackaroo could do that, but mechanically he needs a dot of block. That leaves us with 3 dots, and I'm going to put all 3 of those dots in kick, because Rushu is good for kicking. Kangaroos are good at kicking. I mean, in cartoons and stuff. I don't know anything about real kangaroos. So that's all of our dots spent, and now we're on to special maneuvers. First things first, let's look at those tail moves. Because believe it or not, off the top of my head, I'm not super familiar with tail-based combat maneuvers in the Street Fighter role-playing game. I wouldn't blame you for thinking that I would be. I certainly did make a lot of animal hybrid characters back in the day, but that was many years ago. So there's a ton of tail techniques here. The one that unlocks the whole tail path of martial arts advancement is upper tail strike. So we're definitely going to take upper tail strike. That alone costs 3 points of our 7 to spend. The next one we need to get the really cool tail moves is tail sweep, which only costs 2 points. That leaves us with 2 points to spend. And the one we really want here is the typhoon tail. This is like a hurricane kick, but with your tail. Quote, "The fighter uses her leg muscles to propel herself high into the air. As she descends, she pirouettes, tucking her legs beneath her body and allowing the tail to extend in a circle around her. She then angles her descent to strike her target's head." But that's only the half of it. It does an extra +5 damage to the person you actually land on. So it's like a big damage attack for your target. But you also do damage to everyone in adjacent hexes. So this is like an area effect with your big spinning kangaroo tail. We really want this move, but I can't quite afford it at this stage. I am going to need jump to get it eventually, though. And of course, mutant kangaroo, you got to have jump. So I'm going to take jump. That leaves 1 point. I could spend all the remaining freebie points on getting typhoon tail, but that wouldn't necessarily be smart, and it wouldn't necessarily be that much fun at this stage. Certainly the World Warrior version of this character, when I sort of level him up, is going to have typhoon tail. We're all set to get it. But that's going to be something he grows into as his mission to low-key take vengeance on the human race continues, per the weird setting backstory. For now, I feel like this kangaroo's got to have at least 1 kick, and ideally at least 1 move that takes advantage of Rushu. It's too good a pun not to use mechanically. And right now, all these maneuvers just come purely from the animal hybrid background. In case you're wondering, yes, it is totally possible to make a very viable and powerful Street Fighter who actually has no martial arts style, just the animal hybrid background. But we're going for goofy, not cheesy here. So what's a cool 1-point kick you can get from Wushu? Which, I remind you, is the highly acrobatic Chinese martial arts style that Chun-Li uses. There are just a couple options here for 1 point. There's the handstand kick and the double hit kick. I know that the double hit kick is a prerequisite for Lightning Leg later, which is that cool, like, so fast it's blurred multi-kick attack that Chun-Li does in the video game. We can only afford double hit kick now, but it'll build to Lightning Leg later, and I think that'll do a lot to point out that this is a variant of Wushu. That is the iconic Wushu move from the Street Fighter universe. So double hit kick it is. That takes care of special maneuvers. Now we're on to Renown. 3 points to a lot between Glory and Honor. I feel like one Glory, two Honor suits this character. We got to spend those freebie points. Of the 15, one has to go into backgrounds to get that extra dot of animal hybrid. That leaves 14. I am going to spend these on maneuvers because Wushu can also get wall spring. This is a special maneuver where you can bounce off a wall before delivering a kick or punch, and it allows you to like jump further than you normally would be able to. That's very kangaroo. So wall spring for 1 point, which costs 7 of my freebie points. I think I'm going to bump survival all the way up to 5. It seems appropriate for a character who's been living in the outback for 100 years and is actually a kangaroo. That leaves me with only 3 freebie points. I'm going to spend one more in fame to make Jackaroo a full-on local celebrity. I think maybe he started out just people who saw him in the outback, but now like everybody in town knows him. That leaves 2 more freebie points, and maybe I'll go ahead and buy 1 extra chi and 1 extra willpower, because I know those are going to be needed to fuel the big spinning pirouette tail thing when the character gets it later, so get a head start on that. Miscellanea, appearance. I think we've covered the high points. I actually don't have it in front of me, but Benj did specify that in the appearance of his human half, Jackaroo is aboriginal, so there is that little detail. But pretty much, you know what? He's a kangaroo man. For equipment, you know, I think a good hat, some kind of canteen, just basic survival stuff. But other than that, I don't think this is an equipment-heavy character. Quirks, you know what? He's fine. I think we're just about... I don't think there's a pressing need to distinguish him from other Kangatars. And as for his signature or his victory pose, since we're sort of dealing in like 1990s indigenous peoples, environmentalism, vengeance of the earth, evil businessmen destroying the planet, that kind of stuff, why don't we go full stereotype and say Jackaroo doesn't want to fight. He has to fight because the earth is being destroyed, but he's actually much wiser and cooler than that. And he's, you know, obviously very enlightened and in touch with the earth. And so after he wins a match, a single tear rolls down his cheek. How about that? You wouldn't be able to see it in a video game, but this isn't a video game. This is a dramatic storytelling game of fistfighting angst. So we all know that single tear is there. But you also need some gross bodily movement in there, something that says kangaroo. So I think first he does a flip, then single tear. And that's it for Jackaroo. Thanks so much to Benj for giving me this goofy-ass character to show off this goofy-ass character generation option. All that remains is to get a grade from Benj on how I did. So let's see what Benj's comments were.
It's a dinky die, true blue, A+ from me, mate.
Join me next time as we discuss a new challenger on MDC's Wiki World Warriors. Wiki World Warriors is a Mega Dumbcast miniseries made possible by listeners like you, who contribute to the show on Patreon. A new episode will drop every day except for Sunday until all 12 World Warriors have been revealed. If you'd like to contribute to Mega Dumbcast and you'd like access to a special RSS feed of MDC Megasodes to help you binge the show's back catalog, sign up at patreon.com/megadumbcast. I am Mega Dumbcast on Gmail, Podbean, Twitter, and Instagram. The Street Fighter RPG is by White Wolf, and the Street Fighter franchise, including all associated trademarks, is property of Capcom. This episode's music, used under a Creative Commons license, is Fire Darer by Sawsquare Noise. Find more music at n.sawsquarenoise.com. That's en.sawsquarenoise.com. This episode is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial share-alike license. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time. Now go home and be a family man.